Westworld Season 1, Episode 3, The Stray. Do I need to say anything more? Look to my left. Shannon Woodward is here. Let's get this started. Stephen buzzes
in.
You're
tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I figured why a big drawn-out open, because we have an amazing guest here tonight. Welcome, AfterBuzz superfans. We are here. It is Westworld Season 1, Episode 3, The Stray. I am JC, and we are joined tonight by a very special guest, starting with the lovely lady to my left, Shannon Woodward. Can we get an applause?
Yeah.
A lot more people in here than I expected.
You get a car.
You can't afford that, JC.
Not yet. But across the table, my lovely host to my left.
Hey guys, I'm Joel Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joel Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
And I'm Dave Child. You can find me at Mr. Dave Child at DaveChild.com. Hi.
The loveliest one of all.
Yeah, that's me.
All right, yeah. Thank you so much for coming in tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Are you kidding me? I need a lot of help today. Okay. From what we saw today, let's talk about general impressions. And
right.
I mean, Elsie, I've told you, I got it right.
You nailed it.
Has anybody else been confused between Elsie and Elsie? It's very close.
Oh, like the letters
like
Elsie.
Yeah.
Oh, Elsie. Yeah, like Lauren Conrad?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. This is how I've had to commit it to memory.
That's what I did.
Yeah, the only thing I keep hearing is like Elise, and I'm like, it's Elsie. But I mean, as a person that has dyslexic tendencies, I get it.
Right.
But yeah, that's... Now I'm not going to be able to stop thinking about Lauren Conrad. Character's name. Lauren Conrad. Anyway, sorry.
Lauren's a boss. Lauren's awesome. No shade against Lauren.
She's dope. No, not bad. Just like a reference I wouldn't have, like, I wouldn't put it together.
Let's put this together because, like I said, we have you here, so we are going to mine you. We need you. We need your help. You have to tell us exactly how this all started for you. I mean, you are the slightly prickly, incredibly intelligent behavioral engineer.
Yep.
Who fix the hosts that may have an aberrant, I can't even say it, just something wrong with them.
Oh, so. aberrant behavior?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Are you a techie coming into this?
My dad wrote OS 2. Like, my dad was a bit like a software designer.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and he wrote one of the first voice recognition problems for IBM in the 90s, late 90s. And, like, I used to go into IBM to test that stuff, and it never worked, the voice recognition. Especially because, like, I was, a 7-year-old kid? So, like, my voice was all the way up here! And it was all these, like, older programmer dudes. So, like, the programs would work-ish with the men.
Right.
And, like, I still don't use Siri or even my car because my brain was literally developed to think... This technology does not work for women. It only works for men.
That's so funny.
Which is nothing against my dad. I mean, working with the higher frequencies is just difficult. Anyway, but yeah, like, my dad's like a big sci-fi guy. And I mean, I saw Westworld when I was like a tiny child. And
oh, so this is nothing new to you. So you just felt...
No, like, this stuff was like... I mean, to be fair, like, I think it was probably one of the only reasons I got the job. Like, I went in and started saying all the tech stuff. And Lisa was just like, I buy that. Yeah. And I was like, I was terrible. I'm hungover. And she was it was great. Like, it was just a natural... I think there were some things that felt natural for me.
Yeah, but you're kind of coming in with a strong bias against AI. It feels like...
Not
you're
even
like...
against. It's just like... I mean, in terms of like AI as a concept, it's just...
Right.
For me, it's like... Well, no, I mean, it's a computer program.
Yeah. So it's like... But it
didn't really
recognize
fun.
You as a person.
What?
So now it didn't recognize you
as
a person.
Oh, you mean that? Oh, yeah, I don't have a bias against it in that sense. That was just like, you know, the 90s is just like, you know, pardon the pun, but like, you know, the wild west of technology. I mean, we were only a few... My dad wrote OS 2. I mean, before that, we were using MS-DOS at home. So it's like, you know, I grew up with the computer as like a little sibling that took all my daddy's time away. But like, but I respect it and I loved it. And, you know, I remember that Prodigy life.
Right.
You remember pre-AOL.
So my mom built...
Not Prodigy, like I'm smart.
Prodigy. I thought you meant the band. I thought you meant that Firestarter.
That's actually way cooler.
Okay.
Way cooler.
Okay, cool.
So my mom builds computers.
Oh,
yeah? Like that. Yeah. So she got into computers in the 80s, and now she does other stuff, but she's still, like, computer heavy. And she would take me to hang out with, like, her buddies who also build computers, and I see a lot of those personality traits within Elsie. Did you, like, model them off of, like, your dad's friends? How did you...
I mean, it's really just like a slightly... I'm kind of like that.
Okay.
You know, right. Like, I bore people in conversations with, like, did you see the new study that came out about the maternal gene in terms of intelligence, inheriting it from your mother? People are like, their faces go dead. I'm like, I'm sorry, I've gone too far. Let's change the subject. No, I just like that. I am kind of that way. So it's like, you know, I might have to Google a word or two that Jonah and Lisa write, but for the most part, like, it works. Like, I know the tone. I know where it lies. Like,
right, because compared to, like, say, some of your other roles from, you know, Raising Hope and The Riches, and so this is more, like, native to you, you're saying.
I would say, like, this, yeah, this is certainly, like, I mean, especially as it goes on and she gets a little bit, it's interesting because I feel like the show really, it starts with, like, Elsie is such a, like, the way she behaves, so, like, is, like, computer-y in some ways because she spends so much time in the thing that, like, as the episodes go on, I feel like she opens up a bit more and becomes more, like, has to be out of the tablet, which is fun.
And we saw that tonight on the episode.
Yeah, you start seeing that a bit, like, me out in the park and, you know, I start being more, like, it's out of my element, but as the more I get out of my element, the more, the less techie I feel.
So it's kind of like your defense mechanism with, like, let's say with Stubbs?
It's just, yeah, but I mean, it's the same way that everyone is, you know, we're like, you know, you're home alone, you're on your phone the whole time. Yeah. It's like, but then, like, if you go somewhere where you have no signal, all of a sudden you're like, guys, do you want to, like, play a game? You know, like, you're like, oh, right, out without this thing. Yeah, so I feel like there is that side of me that's like, you know, at home and I get super nerdy and I just want to do super nerdy things, but then I also cry for a living half the time. Yeah. You know what I mean? So there's multiple facets, and I think she is that way too. We've just only seen
some. And now you've been involved with this for what, about 2 years now?
Yeah, we did the pilot 2 years ago last month. Yeah.
Wow. So let's talk about.
Yeah, I got a question about, like, to relate to what you were just talking about. When in the pilot you reach and you go to kiss the host.
Yes, thank you for asking us.
Is that because the character's not really used to human contact and, like, has...
I don't know if it's about that, but you're actually... I think you're on the right track. I mean, that moment's not... I mean, at least as far as I was aware of the way we talked about it, the scene isn't about sexuality. Like, it's about curiosity. It's just that Bernard is saying, like, you know, it's these little things that make the host fall in love... or the guests fall in love with the host. You know, and we're, I'm laughing at, like, oh, God, like a hooker with hidden depths. And it's more just, like, it's not about... I mean, she's a computer. It was just, like... I wonder what that feels like. How did they make it? There was some stuff. The scene is shorter now than it was when we made it. So there used to be some more stuff that made it very clear.
You just, like, poked her in the eye.
No, I just mean, like, what we were talking about in the scene became more specific to her mouth.
Right.
You know, but, you know, that's not the way it is now because that's not how it ended up. But he still, it's about the line where he says it's the little things that make the guests fall in love with them. And he leaves and she's like, prove it.
So
it's curiosity.
When you get the scripts for these, I'm wondering because it seems like it could be the type of show that is trying to build a sense of mystery for everyone involved. Mm. So how far ahead, as you were filming it, how far ahead did you read and did you only get, like, scenes that just had something to do with your character?
No, I was given all of the scripts. I don't think that's the case for everyone, but I don't know who does or doesn't. You know, everything is secret from me. Like, I only know my own experience, which is that I don't know anything, which I really liked because, you know, especially because I kind of play the audience on the show. Like, I always, like, I'm the one trying to solve this mystery, you know, especially as we've seen so far. And so for me, it was great because, you know, Elsie is like, she thinks she's the smartest person in the room. And she thinks she knows. And by the way, that is a major character flaw I have had several times. You know, it's a stupid thing to do. It's a hubris thing. And, you know, Elsie is right a lot of the time. But I think, like, there is to a certain extent, like, you know, that's a... I've lost my train of thought for a minute because I got embarrassed about admitting.
You're not the only one.
No, I don't think that, but it's like, but it becomes like a default, like, especially like as a tiny woman, like to be constantly underestimated, that like it becomes like a character flaw to start being like, okay, listen up, and this is how we're going to talk about it, and I'm right. So just like, it's like a weird, defect.
It's a coping mechanism.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To like get people to pay attention.
Like, look, I know what I'm talking about, we're moving forward. I like it. I like that you can at least admit it, and you're like,
it's not how I feel now, but it's something that I feel like I did when I was younger, especially, like, you start, it is a way of, like, not looking for approval, you know, to start being like, I'm just gonna go trudge ahead. I remember what I was saying, is that it's great to not know, because when I am wrong, or when Elsie's wrong, I'm like, oh, but I was never anticipating it, so...
But you still read the entire script. You just don't read.
But they give them to us episode by episode.
Episode by episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I read the entire script, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, no, because it seems to me also that she can put Bernard in check. She's on to things.
She has a bit of an autistic thing where, like, you know, where I do not have that quality, but it's kind of fun and freeing to do that. Where she doesn't think about the fact that that might be insubordinate or that she just speaks her mind. She doesn't think twice. We did have to. They coached me a lot on that. They were like, "Just keep going. You're not worried. I'm worried about anyone's feelings. I want to be liked. But just keep going."
You know, and that even boils down to you and Stubbs, because I noticed there was a lot of tête-à-tête going on between the two of you, and I wanted to know what was going on off camera, because he seems, Luke Hemsworth seems like he's quite the prankster.
He's great.
Yeah, so
we get along great.
Now, do you guys have to stick completely to script, or can you guys kind of go off the page a little bit?
No, we're sticking to the script.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, every once in a while I'll add, like, a word or something if there's just, like, a beat, but I think I've only seen that in, like, once or twice in an edit. For the most part, it's pretty dead on.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Lisa Joy putting your words down.
They're just amazing.
No, of course. But I was.
Yeah, what are you trying to say? I'm just kidding.
No, what I'm saying is just because I've noticed Luke in his interviews, and he's just this. He's kind of the opposite of Stubbs.
I know, he's so sweet and lighthearted and funny.
Yeah.
But by the way, I think Stubbs is too. It's just, I mean,
right.
He brings such a likability to that. It's so, I love watching him. I think he's so funny and charming.
And he kind of brings some jokes into this episode.
Yeah.
Like he says,
"Yeah,
Moon Madness," which was, by the way, I think a hint at something coming, but I'm curious, looking at you, wondering, blinking.
Cool. Oh, I actually don't know. I don't know anything. I really don't.
Anything about the Moon Madness?
No.
Okay.
That's actually true. I really don't know.
You really don't know.
Mm-mm.
Okay. I'm just saying, we'll talk about
that. I mean, you could be, but I wouldn't know.
That's
actually totally true, I swear.
I'm big into, like, the trying to figure out what the world is.
I get it. We've all been doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay, we're all in that boat. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so when he just, like, randomly brought up, what, do you think he has moon madness? I'm like, why would he say moon madness? Are they on the moon? Now I think Westworld is on the moon.
Well, I think he said that because I think it's a constellation.
Right.
Okay. So he's getting staring mad at the about sky. Moons.
He's not staring at the sky.
I don't buy it.
He's not buying it.
That's what I thought.
I also thought maybe the constellation, when you were so worried about, was like, why did he make this constellation? I was like, maybe that's because, why you're so confused, is because you can't see that constellation in the sky from where Westworld is. Because it might not be on Earth.
I don't know where it is. And,
okay.
But I'd love to know. I have no idea. Okay. But that...
That was good!
But I mean, she does say, there's a line, I think it's still in there. Yeah, it is. That she says, he's not programmed to give a shit about stars. That's why she's worried, is because she wrote that code. Like, he's not supposed to care about that. You know, that'd be like your phone doing something it's not programmed to do. You'd be like, whoa, what the fuck? This is not how it works. So that's why she's concerned. It's not because the star's not in the sky or they can't see. It's because I didn't write that.
And that's a beautiful
And I know
takeaway.
The code. You know, I know that, like, you have to remember, it is like your phone. Like, it is no different. It's just more advanced. That, like, if your phone starts doing something that's weird, it's like, and you build the program, but you build the OS, that's just not how it's supposed to work.
So can we stop and have just a very brief conversation? Our chat is having this very intense debate. They do not like us to call the host robots. They are very, very hosts or synthetics.
Even though I want to say cowbots so bad. I want to say cowbots every single time.
Cowbots makes me feel good, but I don't write it. So good, I'm not in charge.
Maybe when they get to talking about the steers themselves. Those could be the cowbots. But not the cowboys.
But you seem to
there were some cowbots in this one.
Yeah. You seem to feel the same way that I do, which is like, they're like programming. Like, they're not people.
Well, yeah, they're hosts. Of course, yeah, we talk about it. I mean, they're not people.
Thank you. Okay.
Of course they're not. They are AI.
AI hosts,
right.
Yeah, and they're making decisions based on their programming, what they're meant to do. It's all.
Can I jump in too? This is Steve in the booth, guys.
Hey.
What I really love about the show so far is the kind of comparison between humanity and what the hosts are.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Hopkins has a monologue in the first episode about evolution is just a series of mistakes leading to where we are now. And when you look at the human brain, like, if you're going to say that, okay, your phone's just doing something it's not supposed to do, it's either a better phone or it's a worse phone. But if it's a better phone, you're going to continue using that. It's evolution on a computer scale. And when you look at the human brain, all it is electrical signals moving from one synapse to another. So you can look at Instincts as the original programming and Evolution as every mistake since then. So in what way are these hosts actually even any different from humans?
Well, but also I feel like, I mean, you're making a pretty big jump to say phones evolve. They don't. They're programs. Right. So that's, I mean, that, I mean, it's a big, it's just, a, that's a big jump. And it's a big jump, and it's not one you think about, right? It's not one you'd be like, the phones are evolving. You'd be like, you sound crazy. Like, right. That's just not how it works. Right. And I think it's important to remember that this is a, it's logic-based, so.
And it's also a world that's built, it's a world built for escapism and for, to create creatures and hosts that you can manipulate and use. The guests can come
and
use them.
It's a ride. It's Disneyland.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's just, it's odd. I think the show brings up strange feelings for the viewers because it's hard for us not to identify.
Especially because they have human faces.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what's so great about the show. I mean, none of it is unthought out. I mean, Jonah and Lisa are fully all over it. And again, like, I'm just talking about this like a fan. Like, I love it. And these are the things, like, especially, I could be over-identifying with my character, you know, like, but I can't help it. I've been doing it for 2 years. Like, when we have these conversations at work, I'm just like, no, it's a program and it doesn't evolve. Like, this is how it works. If there's a flaw, there's a flaw. Like,
I definitely don't want to shade the people who've been commenting, but
I haven't read the comments fair, so
you're
I don't
good.
Mean
you're
to
good.
Shade you if
no,
I'm doing
it, I feel like I was kind of being rude. I don't mean to you guys, but I just feel pretty strongly in the same way that you do that, like, you know, they're programming, but I understand, like, audience, like, yeah, but they're gaining sentience. Like, they understand. And I'm like, but do they?
Well, it's, wait, that's the question. Are they or are they not? I mean, you know, it's interesting because as human beings, as creatures who did evolve, I feel like it's almost human nature to assume that and fear that, right?
Yeah.
But also, you have to be practical about what that would look like and if it's even possible. So it's really, it's interesting. That's what the show is about. Is it, are they, and how, and why?
But isn't this the crux of it all, especially with Bernard this episode?
Yeah.
He seems to be the gatekeeper that's opening possibly the floodgates with Dolores.
Yeah, Bernard.
And Dolores kind of showed the first sign of sentience. Like, the first, I think, true sign of sentience in the episode, in the series so far.
Yeah, did she? Or did
in,
she?
In which moment?
Well, because when she says, why did you say what you just said? And she says, I don't know. That feels like it's coming from suddenly she's having something on instinct that isn't programmed into her, and that she's not able to piece into, okay, I said this to placate you or to calm the situation. I said this because I felt it.
Yeah.
And that feels like, to me, real sentience.
Mm-hmm.
While before this, it seems like it could be glitches, it could be past memories coming back up, past hosts coming back into her system and just kind of filtering through everything. But now it's something that's like X.
It's a big question mark.
Especially with the follow-up question. Because in episode 2, we have the moment where she's sitting with Bernard having that proper conversation in the beginning. And he's like, he asked her if she's in trouble, and she says, no, are you in trouble? Did you do something wrong? And that kind of gave me a brief moment of pause where I was like, okay, are you plotting? Like, are you digging for information? I don't know. I still believe that there's a third omniscient being out there who is pulling strings.
Well,
I feel like everybody is Geppetto, or there's a Geppetto out there, but it's Pinocchio.
I think we get a sense about who that possibly could be in this episode. We found out about, oh, I'm going to forget his name. Arnold, which is like the most non-menacing name for a potentially menacing character.
It's always the ones you least suspect.
Yeah, and we get a sense of, okay, there was another creator who built Westworld and was kind of crazy and had a sense that there should be sentience, is kind of searching for the singularity to happen. So if that's the case, then this is what's kind of propelling everything now.
And I was really puzzled by that because I don't know if you noticed Ford when he was speaking about Arnold. It almost seemed like he, you know, how, when he talked about his death, maybe I'm reading into it too much. It just, I'm starting to see other shades to Ford's character to me. It seems like maybe a little bit darker as, you know, just the way he treated.
They do that line in episode 1. They're like, he's going to chase his demons right over the edge.
You know, yeah, yeah, and that's what I'm concerned about. Is Bernard the new Arnold in a sense?
Yeah,
they seem very similar to me.
I think there is a sense of a lot of, especially the technicians and the people actually building these robots. I feel like there must be a sense of
of teetering on the edge of identifying with these people as humans, or as just robots and creatures themselves. It seems like your character is one of the only ones that's on the firm side of they're just creatures, or they're just built to.
Well, yeah, I think it kind of goes both ways. With Elsie is logical and is very aware of the fact that the hosts are hosts. Mm-hmm. She builds them, you know. But in addition to that, she also has a strong no asshole policy, mm-hmm. you know. So it's like it's disgusting and tragic what the guests do to them, and she says that, and it sucks. But yeah, she's aware that they're not real.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that she treats them inhumanely. I think there is a difference. You know, there are people who they treat them like objects, but she also, it's like she makes stuff. It's like, don't break that. I made it. What's wrong with you? Who raised you? You know, like,
yeah.
So I think it kind of goes both ways. Like, she certainly, like, she treats them with kindness. She doesn't disdain them. You know, she's gentle with them.
Yeah.
It's also, there, I think there was actually a line that was cut in a scene from this where she says something about, like, you know, just because they don't understand what suffering is doesn't mean they should suffer.
Yeah,
that's really where it's at, I think, for her.
I feel like you see that, too, actually, in the first episode or maybe the second episode when you shut down one of the hosts, yeah. You do it in a very tender way.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
You know, it's like, I just think it's just like character. That's all mm-hmm. it is. It's like human character. It's not that. I mean, on Elsie's behalf, she's just not an asshole. It's like just because it's not real suffering, like
right,
it sucks. It's still like, why make them do it? I'm not getting off on it.
So in that
I think
way,
that's where it lies. It's just
when you go into scenes where you're about to interact with a host, especially when they're someone playing a host,
mm-hmm.
and especially if they're like sitting there naked
mm-hmm.
at the time. Do you try and I'm trying to figure out a way to phrase this. Do you try and dehumanize them right before you enter that?
You know
scene?
What's weird? Yeah, I've gotten like it just comes naturally now.
Really?
Yeah, uh-huh. I mean, and I just know that when I'm doing the scene that's. And it took a little bit. It was a bit of a mind fuck at first.
Uh huh.
And then I think like I started walking around places and imagining if everyone was fake and I was the only person there and all of them were just like. If they were just hosts walking around, how would I behave? How do I walk? You're interested in it. You're not worried about being looked at. Mm-hmm. You don't think about it. Yeah. You don't treat them with it. You act like you're alone, you know? And uh-huh. I think that's something that was what the mindfuck was. It's like, okay, I'm alone in this room, even though I'm working with these people. There's a scene in the second episode where we were with Tandy and I have this long monologue in the second, you know, where I'm doing analysis or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a long bit. And afterwards, like, Tandy, when they'd say cut, she'd go, and it scared me. I was like, oh God, I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, because they're not supposed to breathe.
Yeah, so she's freezing, bless her. And I was like, oh sorry, I'm going to take the line again. And she's just like holding her breath. And she's just so like still, and I'm just doing this whole thing that after a while, I just started buying the scenery.
Right.
Wow.
That's
so, you know, if you notice me acting really strange at some point, maybe commit me. The way you like, it's like doing magic eye, you know, where you're like, just move your eyes like this and you'll see the picture. It gets easier to do it after a while. I think it's kind of the closest.
So you're
acting is like that.
You do this off of camera now?
No. I don't. I just mean like once you kind of find how to see the picture, it gets much easier to see.
Sure.
Like I know how what that feels like, though I'm not. I don't actually believe that.
I know.
I'm friends with them. You know? Okay. I treat them as humans.
We get drinks afterwards. Yeah.
Well, let's see. I know we still have to talk about it. It's just overall that feeling that, like you said, as a viewer, we're in love with the host. My heart breaks every single episode.
Oh, so hard to watch.
Teddy,
right?
The bullet sponge. Now he's a knife sponge. How many ways can he do? It's true.
I just like that they cast James Marsden for this part because his whole career has just been like every time he plays a character, the character just never gets what he wants.
The burn lover.
Yeah, right. He's always a nice guy who's like go with the better guy, like with love, like no sadness behind it. And I love that in this like. Because at first we don't know that he's a host. We think he's a person.
Right.
And this whole moment of him shooting and these bullets are just bouncing off. And then he has to watch, like, the love of his life be brutalized. And it just feels James Marsden appropriate. And it's funny to me.
It feels very meta.
Yes, absolutely.
And he's amazing. He's such a good actor.
Stunning. He's so good.
Yeah.
You know, and when I wanted to talk about that, it's almost like popcorn kernels. how all those hosts are becoming aware in different parts of mm-hmm. the whole world. And that's the beauty of it. It's like that slow burn, and they're just coming out of everywhere with you. And was that Tate Fletcher?
Yeah, it was.
You versus the
MMA
fighter.
I didn't know his last name, but it was like Tate. Oh, yeah, the Stray. Yeah, that's Tate.
The big-time MMA fighter.
Yeah.
And,
oh, really?
Which, by the way, I haven't seen that, but, you know, next to him, I was like, yeah, so I buy that as a job for you. How are you?
Yeah. How's that rock over your head?
Huh?
And so I'm just trying to think anywhere else that we can go with this. We've covered you and Stubbs, but what's next? That's what I want to figure out, how you are going to unravel this whole thing, because I think you're onto it.
Give us all the spoilers.
Not in the spoiler. But I'm just trying to figure out, without spoiling anything, like, where would you like to see Elsie go next?
Well, this is hard because I know where she goes next. Sorry, I don't want to rub it in, but I have read all of the episodes.
I know.
Out of the moon.
This moon.
Sorry.
Elsie's got some troubleshooting to do.
Or are we asking the right questions?
Are we going to solve the mystery? It's a little Nancy Drew. I'm not making fun of anyone here. I mean, that's me.
I just wanted to exist in that voice.
But I do it at work all the time. Because I'll have super specific nerdy questions. I'll be like, I think the camera actually has to be over here because the line would be directed at the pad, not at the host. And I make fun of myself because I realize I'm like, I cannot believe I'm about to say this, but I think this,
Right.
And so I just started making fun of myself by doing this thing where I'm constantly, I do wear glasses.
With such
and like,
heavy...
be like, guys, quick question.
Do you do voice acting stuff?
No, but I would love to if anyone's watching.
It's like the third impression we've seen you do today, and it's just marvelous. It's so fun to watch.
Thanks.
With such heavy material, what is the atmosphere on set like? Are you guys clowning around a lot to try to get out of these moments?
I don't think it's because of getting out. I mean, I think, I don't know. Yeah, sometimes we clown around. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes it's like a big scene. It's hard. Mm. There's a lot of elements and nobody's really doing anything but kind of doing their own thing. It just really depends on the day. But the atmosphere in and of itself is like, it's amazing. And I think a lot of that, it really is one of the best situations I've ever been in. First of all, everybody is like, nerding out, right? Yeah. Like most of the stuff we're doing, it's all practical. So like these sets are real and they're massive and the scale is real. And you're like, you show up to work every day, you're like, I'm inside like a crazy movie right now. This is nuts. Like, you know, the kid in me that said like when I was 5, like, Mama, I want to be in the TV. Like I'm in the TV, like in like a way that's like practical. You can really feel it. It's not like there's a green screen everywhere and you're like, so what's this going to look like when we do it?
Can I ask a question?
Fun. Yeah.
Booth voice.
Hello,
disembodied voice.
Okay.
Leading up to the premiere of Westworld, there was always, like, for the past 2 years, there's been so many, like, news articles, like, oh, problems on set, problems with this, problems with this. Will this show ever get made? Will this show be any good? And I think a lot of people were kind of questioning. There was a lot of hype. And now, what was it like leading up to that premiere? And now that the premiere is out and everyone's saying this is the new Game of Thrones, everyone's really just all on board. How's that feel?
It's nice for to stop hearing the bullshit, yeah.
Right.
Because there was never a problem with the show. The show was always amazing, and we were always having a great time. And as far as I know, there were never any kind of problems like that. I mean, listen, we've been reading these scripts and shooting this show. And so when Jonah and Lisa were like, hey, we want to write the rest of the scripts so we can block shoot them all together, we're all like, yeah, that's a great idea, because then we can – I mean – it just makes more sense to, this is, you can't really shoot it like a TV show.
Right.
No one's really tried to make a show this scale, as far as I know, in the States. You know, mm-hmm. Game of Thrones is shot in several different countries, and they have, I'm pretty sure, 3 UPMs, and, you know, they have and they shoot, I think, French hours, which means they work 6 days instead of 5, and there's all, also, I'm not a UPM, I don't know how this stuff works, but it seems like there's enough of, like, it makes more sense to write all the scripts and shoot them all as one big movie, you know? So if you're going to use the same location or be in the same place, like, let's shoot there for a week and then here for a week, you know? Instead of constantly moving crews that are massive back and forth, you know? So it was such a practical thing to be like, yeah, do that, and then let's... So when we started hearing, like, I was just, I'm speaking for myself personally, I was annoyed. I was reading this being like, man, can you imagine if every time you read about Game of Thrones, it was like, Game of Thrones, whose pilot was half reshot, you know, like, it's like, that's annoying. Like, that's not the case. And it was weird to feel like something that we were so far into felt like overshadowed by all this doubt. And it was like, we can't really say anything, but just like, let it speak for itself. And it's exciting to watch it speak for itself now. And also, like, what was I going to say? Like, you know what you're talking about. Yeah. And I didn't, but I would just sit at my computer being like, ah. Like someone, like, hit my brother or something. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, goodness. You'll see one day. I feel felt like a little kid.
So you feel vindicated.
Well, I don't, because I have nothing to do with this. You know, I just show up and say lines. It's just, I love this show. I just happen to be on it. So it was like watching somebody make fun of something they hadn't seen or something. I'm just like, yeah. You guys, it's really cool.
I think Bo Burnham was saying that he took 4 years to make to do one comedy special to another. And he was talking about how, and he just abandoned Twitter. He was like, I'm working on making something really good. And I get that feeling from Westworld where it was like, people were like, well, what's going on? We don't have the details. So something must be wrong. Although you would tell us if it was something else. But in fact, like, you guys were making art. You were taking time to really craft a story that is phenomenal to watch. And I'm kind of glad that we were able to see, like, hear all of this drama that was happening and come out the other side and be like, nah, it's just a good show.
Yeah, it's pretty, just move past it. It's pretty special. And also, in that case, you know, like, it's not our place to say anything or speak about. So, you know, in hindsight, like, I'm glad people are digging it. And it was annoying to have to sit there and watch it and just be like, one day you'll see.
Yeah. There was all those articles about, can you believe they're asking extras to, there's going to be scenes where they're going to have to be.
I know, it was a picture of me on a lot of that. Yeah. On those articles. Yeah. It was, I was the face of genital to genital touching. to be fair, we were laughing a lot. I think they were shooting that scene that day that story came out. We were like, everything's going fine, and it's done now, so don't worry. Yeah. No humans were harmed.
That's totally fine.
But I wasn't there that day, so I didn't see it. But I heard it was a real hoot.
Yeah. One more quick question.
I don't think any genitals touched. Like, that was just a, like, if this scares
in case it happens.
Bejesus out of you, don't come. Like, it's not your thing today.
And you also understand why some extras may have to be chairs or may have to be ridden around, which are all on the things. But if once you watch the show, you're like, yeah, they're going to need to sign something for that. That does make sense.
I haven't seen the bit, but it'll be interesting to see how it
goes. Last question before I stop interrupting you guys is the disembodied voice. With the new trend in TV is like, oh, we have to make this show good by killing characters. You see it with The Walking Dead. They do it with Game of Thrones all the time. At least it makes sense there. With HBO especially, did any of the cast really have that, like, terrified feeling opening the script for the first time?
I'm sure we all did, and we just never talk about it. I mean, I'd be scared every day, you know?
You're especially one of the characters that could die and not come back.
Right.
I know.
Yeah, the other characters can die over and over again.
What do you mean? We need a little Elsie in our lives.
Yeah!
Oh, see, I'm just saying, if she dies, it's probably permanent.
It's a vulnerable position to be put in.
Do you think they'll take a character who's human and create a host out of them?
I don't know.
As like a Cylon kind of storyline?
I don't write this show. Oh. You know, Lisa Joy's writing a Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah,
she is!
Speaking of Cylons.
Super excited about that.
Oh, there
is. I'm also wondering if there's... well, you can't say anything. But the big question is, like, I think everyone's expecting someone who's not a host to be discovered as a host.
Right.
At some point.
I've read about that.
So does it... It feels like... Have you found that people are... I don't know if you're reading any of the fan reactions.
I know, I read them because it's exciting that people care. It's only been like 2 weeks. It's so exciting.
Right. So are people like keeping track of your eye movements or keeping track of how many times you've
I think you are, Dave.
I mean, I'm not, except for this moon theory. That's what the moon theory is like.
Till this episode, I mean, I've only been in like a few scenes and episodes. Right. I don't think people are really that worried about me, so I haven't gotten anything. Like, I haven't seen anything like that on the Twitter, but I also, I don't know. Maybe they will. I don't know.
It's coming down the line, I think everyone's a suspect. Mm-hmm. Anyone could be a host.
Anything could happen.
Yeah.
It's the future Wild West.
Crap, Dave, you got me looking at her eyes to see if she's a host or not.
Well, she's not now. This is real life.
I know, but when you mention it, and she, you know, like, for a second, the fur on the brow, something like that Bernard would pick up on. And
what's funny is that so many people have told me, or just accidentally said, over the last year or so, like, asking about the show, and I'm like, yeah, I'm doing this show for HBO and kind of explaining a little bit about theme park in the future, and, you know, there's everyone's a robot, they're hosts, but, you know, to explain to and
to
they're
normies.
Like, so wait, so like you have robots play the robots, right? Like, it's an accidental thing, and I'm like, no, human actors play. They're like, right, of course.
They build in real life.
It really, like, it's happened a few times. Right. Like, just accidental, just like, so wait, so how'd they get the robot thing to work?
I certainly have moments of that in watching the show. Particularly go back to the pilot when we first meet Ford and he's having this conversation with one of the, like, second generation hosts. It takes me a second to be like, oh, that is a guy pretending to be a rope, and it is so unnerving.
So
like, I'm just like, oh, it's just the whole body bag part. I'm like, this really creeps me out.
I know. I've
like,
seen it a few times, and the like,
oh, old Bill?
So yes. Crazy, yeah.
Jeez, uh-huh. And the way he moves.
Yeah, his jerky movements. It's just, it's stunning, but it's creepy.
Yeah, it is creepy.
For the record, I now think Ford is not a robot. I thought
Did you think you thought he was before?
I thought he was a robot before, a host.
Sorry, a host. Yeah.
A host before, even though it's confusing now if I say host. But okay, he's not a cowbot, is what I'm saying. Because I think they're building up. I thought maybe he was going to be the life, extending his life. Because in that first episode, he says the next path we have to do is to get rid of our death and to continue. But now I think that's what Arnold's doing. So that's what I think.
And see, and I think it's Bernard. And yeah, Bernard is, you know, with his son.
Right.
That's
possibly.
I think that's his big MO.
I'm glad Ford went through, since we're on Ford, talked about the level of consciousness that is put into each of the hosts, which is something I don't think I've seen before. That's like an aspect of the singularity I don't think we've touched on, with trying to achieve it by putting a God's voice into someone's subconscious, which means that's what can drive some hosts crazy, but it can also lead others to actually find sentience by hearing
their own voice.
It's a real
consciousness theory, the bicameral mind theory. Mm-hmm. It's like you can really get into a Google hole with that.
Yeah,
it's the idea of like about human consciousness and how people think it works. It's really. You can really go down a rabbit hole.
Well, I like which how the show awesome. Like lays it out so that it's easy to understand for somebody who's not that minded at all. Especially when you see they kind of do these onion layers on multiple levels, not just in the robots, but even the way the theme park kind of works. Mm-hmm. And that the closer you stay to town, the safer you are, and the further out you venture, the more dangerous it can get. And I'm wondering how far this onion kind of goes. Like, how many more times we'll see it play out in different theories.
How big is this onion?
This gigantic onion. Mostly with now the relationships between the hosts. Because I think we're going to see those expand a little bit more, and I'm pretty excited about that.
Absolutely. I think I know where you're going with that one. Yes.
Yeah.
Dolores William Teddy, perhaps?
Maybe. I don't know.
We should save it for predictions.
Yeah.
But now that we have you here, we also should talk about other stuff going on in your world. You know, because I know this isn't your first time with AI. I saw you on Craig Ferguson talking to Jeff.
That's right.
But what other projects, or do you have anything going on outside of Westworld?
I just did my old boss, Greg Garcia, who wrote Raising Hope.
Okay.
He has a new anthology series, like Black Mirror is an anthology series, you know, where like every episode has a new cast. Yeah. I just finished a thing last week. He has a new show for TBS called The Guest Book. I just did one of those.
Cool. Is it like
that was super fun.
Comedic anthology series?
Yeah.
Very fun.
And like every episode has its own tone, and it's really interesting. Anyway, I should probably not talk too much about it because I don't know if they've announced. I don't think it's a secret that the show exists. It's not. But anyway, so I just finished that.
We just got that
That
out
was fun,
of you.
And we've just been doing this stuff.
Yeah, I could see the last 2 years. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
With an amazing story like this. But honestly, thank you so much for just being a part of this. I mean, you really kind of... Now I know what's going on. Now I know I'm going to look at your eyes and see where you're blinking.
Please, feel free. Fully vet me.
Yeah, no, but once again, just a big shout out to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for
having
me.
Absolutely.
So should we move... dig it.
Predictions?
Sure.
Yeah. Let's go into predictions.
And now... You're after Buzz TV.
That's right.
Production.
You might wander the deserts and play with green screens, but
Dave,
we've got
flashing
lights.
I'm scared right now. I'm scared.
Well, I'm for predictions.
Yeah.
I think, one, they're on the moon. That's my big prediction. But also, I think what I'm excited about is I now know what the Man in Black is looking for. Because in the previous episode, I was a little worried that the Man in Black was just trying to find an Easter egg in a game that would give him an extra 1,000 points or some weird thing like that. And now I know that there is someone who could have put a map in the game to access something that's close to the singularity or close to something that could extend one's life or possibly download their mind into a robot, into a host, Calbot, of their own. And I think that's what the Man in Black is looking for. Whatever secret Arnold put into the whole game. And that's what the map is for, and that's what all these little Easter eggs are about, because it was done by one of the initial creators. Because I, in the previous episode, I kept wondering, why isn't he just talking to Ford? If Ford's right there, he could just ask Ford, he could just go behind the scenes, because he appears to have a lot of power in the company, because they're like, that guest can do whatever he wants. He can just go back, ask Ford what's happening, where do I find this secret Easter egg? But it's more in depth than that, and I'm excited about that. So that's my big prediction for what he's looking for. But yeah.
I'm not 100% sure if this will happen next episode or perhaps the episode after. Help me with names, y'all. Jeffrey Wright's character?
Bernard Lowe.
Yes, mm-hmm. And his lady friend?
Teresa Cullen.
Bernard and Teresa are going to have head collisions, and they are right. Their wants are so different, which makes them exciting to watch as a couple, because it's clear that they love each other. Like going back and rewatching the pilot and seeing like it's so sweet, like all of these kind of little like we can't really talk about it things, but I look forward to when they can no longer be friends because they are on opposite sides, their needs are opposite, and I think with especially watching those two actors, it's going to be a lot of fun to see that happen,
especially with Bernard. Now we have we saw that Bernard had the opportunity to maybe stop Dolores from becoming more conscious or growing into more of the Judas deer, I think, mm-hmm. that she's hinted that she might become. So, but Bernard's just letting that go and letting her grow because he's too invested in the science and study of what actually will happen.
This show clearly doesn't deal in absolutes of good versus evil. It's very murky. No. But I really love Jeffrey Wright when he goes evil. And if Bernard turned out to be like an evil villain, I'd be happy with it. I'd be really excited to watch. He does evil so good.
He does everything so well.
Anything he's ever done where I'm like, no, that's bad.
See, I'm on that same page with Bernard. I think just there are huge consequences for what he's doing.
Oh yeah,
and I think it's going to catch up to him, and that's what I'm really afraid for Bernard. That's
poking the bear for sure. Yeah.
Well, he's Dr. Hammonding it. He's a little Jurassic Park if I'm thinking of the right character, but he's the
life.
Guy. Life finds a way. Yes. If we want to do Jurassic Park quotes, I can go all day.
By the way, side note, I did see somebody say once on Twitter that made me laugh or something. It was somewhere that somebody was like, I think she plays the Jeff Goldblum character. And I was like, yes!
That's a win! Solid win!
Anyway, sorry.
Now you just have to do that one shot of him just like bleeding. Perfect. Must go faster. But yeah, he's the one that's like really pushing the, oh no, this is still good. This is still good. And he's going to be the one that's like, I overdid it. I kind of should have gone back.
You don't
back.
Know where the line is until you've crossed it. Right. And yeah, I think he's got a plan for all of those hosts in storage downstairs in the flooding freezer.
Right.
How are we doing on predictions? We'll save you for next time on your predictions, but let us know. Are we close to anything?
I can't.
That's
say
all
it.
The time.
I'm gonna make a prediction, JC.
Go for it.
Sure.
I'm gonna say
voice.
That at the oh this thank you at the end of this season, I think we find out that when he originally created Dolores, she had sentience, and I think he buried it within the subconscious, and throughout years and years and years of burying that subconscious, she's only slowly coming to realize that she had it in the first place.
Steven, with your mad predictions in the back, my
possibly.
Goodness,
everything's hidden in the subconscious. It's like 1,000 layers of paint being put over an original layer that they're just buried. And now that he's close to death, he's like, did I make a mistake? And he's going to bring it back.
Listen, God, I got to...
across the court, he's shooting. Will he score?
Yeah.
Who knows?
I'm going to disagree with you because I think she needed to live this many lives and kind of evolve this long in order to find sentience. I don't think it was... I think this Westworld... the whole process of Westworld is to find sentience, and yes, it's yet to be found unless it's now hatching in Dolores for the first time.
God voice from above. I kind of agree with Dave here. I'm sorry.
I like your theory. I'm not mad at you for
it. Yeah, not mad at you, but hey, fans, what do you think? What is your theory? What do you see happening in the next few weeks? So let's get out of here, guys. So, yeah. Mr. Dave Child, where can we find you?
You can find me at Mr. Dave Child or DaveChild.com. That's my name.
Hey guys, I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com. Head over to nerdsofcolor.org to check my review of Birth of a Nation. And if you want to hear my first thoughts on Doctor Strange, head over to my Twitter account.
All right, and AfterBuzz Nation, once again, a round of applause for Mrs. Shannon Woodward.
Woo! Thank you,
sir. Thanks, guys.
And thanks, where can America find you?
Oh, at Shannon Woodward on Twitter.
So for the incredible Shannon Woodward, Dave Child, Joelle, Stephen up above, I'm JC. We'll see you next time. Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.